Did you cooperate so very well? Now, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, again, verses number 6 and 7. We have thought a little of a certain verses from this particular scripture, and they've been a blessing to our heart. But let's again look at verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Prince of Peace. We thought of this one who is wonderful in his grace and his gentleness, his glory and greatness, and of course his government. We think of last night in that wonderful expression, he's wonderful in his power. Wonderful in his power. And secondly, he's the counselor in his precept. The counselor in his precept. But this morning I want you to think with me of the expression, he is the mighty God in his person. He's the mighty God in his person. Says here, the mighty God. Now this is a very interesting title given to the Lord Jesus that means that he is the all-conquering God. In fact, it's one of those wonderful scriptures where we find Christ, the Messiah, referred to as God. As God. Now that is important. Now I want you to turn with me, if you will, to one or two New Testament scriptures to back up what I've just said. Go to John chapter 1. John, keep your finger, of course, in Isaiah 9. John 1 and verse number 1. It says here, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. There you have his eternity. And the Word was with God. And there you have his personality. And the Word was God. There you got his deity. Now notice, will you, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now the 20th chapter, the same gospel. Chapter 20, please. And the very last verse of the 20th chapter. I read from verse 30 because I quoted this verse last night. And many other signs, and truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. Notice the words are that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2. Now these are verses we might quote, but I think it's good for you to see them for yourselves. Hebrews 1 and verse number 2. Verse 1, God hath sundry times and in diverse manners, speaking time past from the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in Son, whom is appointed all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself heard of sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high. The words are found in verse number 2, God has spoken to us in his Son. In his Son. Now go to 1 John chapter 5, the first epistle, and the fifth chapter, and verse number 20. We know, grant to know that, isn't it? We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we might know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in Jesus, what it says, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. Two more scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy and the 3rd chapter and verse number 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh. God manifest in flesh. Now one more scripture. Romans chapter 8, chapter 9 rather, and verse number 5. He's the mighty God, the powerful God. Now notice what it says in verse number 5. Whose are the fathers? Now whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Now notice this. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He is the mighty God. And he is this touching his person, regarding his eternity. In the beginning was the Word. Regarding his personality, the Word was with God. And regarding his deity, the Word was God. He is the mighty God. Now I want you to think this through with me just for one moment. There's an expression in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. It says, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Romans 8 verse number 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us. God be for us. Then in 1 John 4 verse number 16 we read, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God with us, God for us, and God in us. In the first one you have his omnipresence. In the second one you have his omniscience. And in this last one you have his omnipotence. I want you to think this through with me just for one moment. It says there, God with us, his omnipresence. You go to the last phrase of Matthew's gospel and you read this expression, lo, I am with you. Right in the middle of Matthew's gospel, chapter 18, verse 20, Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God with us. And this same one says, lo, I am with you always. And this morning he's saying to each one of us here, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, the joy of living in the awareness, in the consciousness of the Lord's presence with us every moment of every day. Back in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14, Moses had just said to Jehovah, whom shall I say sent me? Remember the answer, I am that I am has sent thee. Now these are all in capital letters. I am that I am has sent thee. The self-existent one revealed himself to Moses in the great I am. And the I am of Exodus 3:14 is a Jesus who says, lo, I am with you always. For it's the very same capital I am. I am with you always. I want to try and comfort and encourage your heart this morning, dear child of God. And I'm thinking of that verse in Isaiah 41:10, where it says, fear not, one of the great 365 fear not of the Bible. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 of the same chapter says, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. He brought us forth by his old right hand, according to Hebrews chapter 8. At the present moment, he's holding our right hand, and for the future is saying, I will never, no, never let go your hand. I'm quoting Hebrews 13, verse 5, where it says, Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that may be boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the great unchanging Christ. I want to quote, if I may, rather Weymouth's translation, Hebrews 13:5. He himself has said, not Paul or Apollos or whoever was the writer to the epistle to the Hebrews, but the Lord himself has said, I will never leave thee. I will never, no, never let go your hand. Isn't that precious? I will never, no, never let go your hand. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though hell shall endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. O child of God, take courage this morning. For the Lord allowed me to go along this line, I simply don't know. I want to get to Exodus 43rd chapter, but he must have a message for some heart here, including my own heart this morning. Oh yes, this one who is the mighty God. He says, I am that I am. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. Are you the only Christian in your place of employment? The only Christian in your family circle? Not too easy to stand alone for him, is it? Beloved, you're not alone. He went alone through Gethsemane's garden, all his anguish and all his blood drops. He went alone through Pilate's judgment hall, alone right on to Calvary's cruel cross. There he suffered, forsaken of all upon that cross, even forsaken of his God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But beloved, we are not forsaken. The very Christ that died there upon that Roman gibbet, nigh 2,000 years ago, went down to the dead's dark domain, the dead's triumph over sin and death and hell and Satan, and the mighty conquering Lord stands right here in our very midst, is saying to you and is saying to me, lo, I am with you. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And he's saying, I will never leave thee. I will never, never let go thy hand. Oh, doesn't this do something to you, my friend, this morning? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mr. Arthur Smith and I, the author of that lovely chorus, and to you who believe he is precious, having not seen we love, we went to visit a lady at Tarpon Springs who had just lost her husband. Mr. Smith, in his own sweet fatherly way, said to her, my dear, he could say that, he was over 80 years of age. He said, my dear, isn't it lovely to know the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee? But he said, you know, one version has it, I will never, never, never leave thee. I will never, never forsake thee. Oh, he said, isn't that lovely, my dear, how the Lord uses five nevers? I think I see her now. She looked straight at us and said, if you preachers need five, one's quite enough for me. Isn't that lovely? When the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he just said, that's quite enough for me. Is this the one you've come to know this morning, dear child of God? Or is there a living reality in your life? Are you living in the awareness of his presence with you? This one that says, I am that I am. This is, lo, I am with you always. I want you, if you will, please take the construction of the Greek text here, where it says, I am with you. The construction is very beautiful. You know what it says? I with you am. Now, you see where you are? You see where you are? You are lost in that great I am. Lost in that great I am. The capital I, the small with you, and the capital am. I with you am. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're grace in the Beloved, made one in Christ, the wonder of it all. So not only is he with us this morning, but he's all around us. He envelops us. the wonder of it all. And he says to your heart with my heart this morning, take courage, I with you am. Let some of the reality of this come over your spirit life. This one who is the mighty God is the one who says, Emmanuel, God are with us. But think and think now for 1 minute, shall we, of his omniscience, the all-knowing, the all-seeing God. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You go back in your Bible to Romans 8, verse number 26, and you read, this, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that says the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I missed that one phrase. It says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. Now these three words, we know not, have to do with our understanding. We don't always understand why this or why that. Have you ever thrown yourself across the bed or across your couch and your heart breaking, the tears rolling down your face and said, oh God, you know. You can't get another word out. You can't bring your thoughts or your feelings into words. You can't give expression to them. You're just so intoxicated, my friend, with anguish and with sorrow right there. It's just then the Holy Spirit who indwells you. He makes your desires known to the Father according to the will of God. Oh, thank God for that this morning. We know not. The word help us in that verse is a beautiful word. It means he takes an end. He takes an end. Mary and Martha. Martha went to the Lord Jesus and said, Master, killest thou not my sister, lest me disturb alone. Bid her that she help me. What Martha's saying is really this. Lord, this is far too much for me. I can't do this all on my own. You ask Mary to take an end. You ask Mary to take an end. The same word is used in connection with the Lord Jesus going up to the cross. They compelled Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross after Jesus. Now Spurgeon declares that Christ carried the heavy end of that cross, while Simon carried the light end of the cross. Now whether that happened or not, I simply don't know. But I know it always happens in my case, your case too. No matter how heavy that burden, no matter how heavy that cross, our adorable Lord Jesus is carrying the heavy end. What he calls is that fellowship with him in carrying the light end of that cross. Well, he doesn't always lift the burden from us. No, beloved, he carries the heavy end. And only might doesn't always lift the cross from us either. Why? He's so loving and so understanding. He's molding us and fashioning us more and more in his own glorious image. And I'll deal with that just in 1 minute now. But all your anxieties, all your cares, bring to the mirror and see, leave them there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Oh, beloved, do you know him? Is there a reality in your heart this morning? This wonderful Lord says, he is the mighty God. The mighty God. This mighty God indwells you. He's not only with you, he's for you. And now it says in verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know, but do we? In the three words we know not, got to do with our understanding. These two words we know has got to do with faith. And though we can't always understand, faith says we know that all things are working together. There's motion here, there's action here, they're working together. All things, when the sun shines all its prosperity, or when the cloud is clouding in upon us in its adversity, the north, south wind and the north wind blowing in upon our lives. Yes, right there he says, all things are working together. They're working together. Not merely for good, but into good. Into good. Not to all men, but to those that love God. And this word, my friend, loving God, means coming from an experience. Not mere sloppy sentimentality, oh no. But a love coming from an intimacy with, and a knowledge of,
the Lord Jesus himself, our living reality in your life. I was very struck when I was in Jerusalem a few months ago, walking along the top of the Valley of Baca. Now I noticed there the Valley of Baca leads right into Baraka. Now Baca means the Valley of Weeping. The Valley of Weeping. But the Valley of Weeping leads right into the Valley of Baraka. And Baraka means blessing. Baraka means blessing. And the only way to Baraka, my friend, is through Baca. The only way. And my friend, as you go through the Valley of Baca, and you come into the Valley of Baraka, oh, how blessed. All the sweetness, all the richness, all the wealth, and all the blessedness of the Valley of Baraka. The only way there is through Baca. May I pause here? Once you get to Baraka, you look back upon Baca and said, why? I wouldn't have missed Baca for anything. I wouldn't have, why? The Lord drew so near to me, made his presence so real. A sympathetic, understanding, compassionate Christ drew near to me. And he says, I'm with you, and I'm for you. All my love moved up toward him in such a way I never knew before. I knew his love coming over my spirit life in those moments of sorrow, and those moments of anguish, those moments of bereavement. Yes, for that's what it meant, my friend. The moments of bereavement, the moments of sorrow, the crushing disappointment, the financial reverse. Yes, my friend, the physical limitation, he understands this perfectly. And just there he draws so near, as so close. He gives us the consciousness, the awareness of his love for us, whom he loveth. And that love comes over our spirit life, and we go right now through into the Valley of Baraka, and we say, why I wouldn't have missed Baraka for anything. Oh, the Lord made himself so real and so precious. And here Gero comes into my mind away at Fort William, that's called Thunder Bay in Ontario. And her husband was a school principal. We were then up there, we had been there before for services, and they were opening a new chapel. The invited us there for the opening. And I turned to this girl just after the evening service. I said to her, where's Barry? Oh, she said he went out to try and get a moose at the end of the season. He went out hunting a moose. But she said that he's caught a moose. Said he promised to be back here in time to lead the choral group and to lead the singing. Now he is a high school principal, very wealthy young man, very brilliant, gifted speaker. I mean, in the things of God. Just the very person the assembly needed, speaking human language. His wife said, if he's caught a moose, I'll hit him over the head with the horns. I looked at her and said, don't worry about that, Cain. Just turn the gun on him. But little did we know that Barry was with the Lord. 28 years of age. On his way back, we're driving back in our little Volkswagen. Another brother in the Lord was driving. And as they're coming up the top of the hill, a great big truck coming along the wrong side of the road. And they met head on. The Volkswagen folded up. Barry went straight to heaven. That a young man was critically ill for many a long month. He's still alive today. Barry went right to heaven. That night after the service was over, we had to break the news to Kay. Young girl, 25 years of age, with two lovely children. All she could say, she's somewhat stunned, says, why tonight? And why, Barry? We asked to come over and stay with us where we're staying that particular evening. I told the friends, please don't crowd around her. Let the Spirit of God do his own work in her life. Let us pray behind the scenes. Next morning, she came out into the kitchen. I put my arm around her and said, Cain, is the Lord precious to you? Her eyes were red. They were puffed up. Said, yes, he's more precious this morning than ever before. So I could not say that until 4 o'clock this morning. At 4 o'clock this morning, my knees, I said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I said, Jim, the Lord lifted the Lord, and it's gone. And the Lord is precious to me, more so today than ever before. On the Tuesday, I was standing looking out of the window, meditating upon my message for the service. I knew it was going to be a very large funeral. People are coming up from the educational offices in Toronto, and they're having God of honor from the high school. And I was waiting on the Lord for guidance. The girl came and slipped her arm through mine, looked straight at me and said, Jim, I can truthfully say I love the Lord more today than I've ever loved him in my life. Lord, drawn so close to me, made His presence so real to me. I love Him more today than I've ever loved Him in my life. God, use that girl there in that funeral parlor to lead many of those dear people to Lord Jesus Christ. Something she had never done before. God gave her a peace and God gave her a victory to recognize the Lord was in it all. Some people standing by looked down there upon that body. Those high school students, the tears rolling down their faces, some really lamenting. A dear brother standing by said to some of those students, "You love Mr. Wager?" I said, "Yes, we love him. But more than that, we know he loved us. He was more than a school principal. He was our friend. He loved us." And I know as you look back over your little life, some of you are not quite so young as you used to be, and you remember certain valley bugger experiences when you couldn't see my friend because the tears were blinding you. But in the midst of it all, you saw further than the great philosopher or the great astronomer standing on tiptoe, peering through the muddy telescopes, because you saw the Lord Jesus. He drew near to you, made Himself so real to you. And today you say, "We know that all things are working together into good." What for them that love God? Those that are called according to His purpose. Now why? The next verse is the answer. "But whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." Oh, beloved, that is what He's doing in your life and mine. The other day, at the commissary conference at Fort Lauderdale, at Hollywood, rather, on Saturday morning, I got a long-distance phone call telling me part of my roof had been blown off with a gale up in London, Ontario. The gale was 75 miles an hour. And I stood there that turn, I heard this news. I didn't know quite what to think. My wife was out in California, Los Angeles. I didn't know what to think for a moment. I said, "Lord, it's Your house. You know what You're doing, Lord." And oh, the peace the Savior gave. Oh, the peace. Little one afterwards, phone rings again. This time a long-distance phone call. This time from London. The first in London, all around trying to find me through the Bahamas, and they caught up with me by contacting people in Zephyr Hills, where I was intending going after the conference that day in Miami or Hollywood. And the phone crew to Fort Lauderdale, where I was staying, gave me this news. But another phone call came from London saying, "We felt we couldn't possibly leave the shingles off your house. We had to repair the roof." One of the brethren passing by, he saw it, and he contacted your insurance agent. He said he wouldn't do a thing unless he got your okay. But he said we couldn't wait for that, because we just got ahead and we put the roof back on. That's the kind of brethren to have. You see, I mean, I help you right here. That Paul's angry because all things working together for good. I was so conscious the Lord knew this then, it didn't trouble me the least little bit. The least little bit. And because that quietness right in one's own heart, the Lord glory gave us the glorious news that the world was back on again. Oh, the joy that thrills one's heart. May I pause here? "For whom He did foreknow," there are here five links in the chain. "Whom He did foreknow," one, "He also predestinated," two, "to be conformed to the image of His Son." Now that's what God is doing. He's seeking to transform us more and more into the image of His own beloved Son. Father, now, "whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." And there are five links there in that chain. Foreknowledge, predestination, called in the gospel, justified by faith, and glorified, and notice that all in the past tense. It's something that he already sees as an accomplished fact. Now, says Paul, after all that, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's no opposition. And next verse says, "Now, He that spared not His own Son, but freely give Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely give us all things?" There's no reservation. Our God is a giving God. Gives us lavishly, hilariously, cheerfully. Our God is a giving God. He's a mighty God. Isn't it lovely, my friend, this morning? This all-conquering, this champion. This is the one, my friend, that says, he is spirit, not his own son. A friend of mine gave $50,000 recently to missions. Someone said, is that not rather a lot you're giving? I said, oh no, I've already given my son. And having given their son, my friend, there was no sacrifice in much after that. And God having given his own son, and with it, he freely gives it all things. So there's no opposition, and there's no reservation. In the next verse it says, who shall lay any to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now if God justified me, who dare accuse me? So there's no accusation. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Then, Father, there's no condemnation. The next verse. Who is it condemneth? Who Christ to die? Who rose? Who lived? Who intercedes? Will he condemn me? There is a thought. There's one of the same chapters that says, no condemnation that there are in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation. Because if you believe not, you're condemned already. And if someone here has never yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ of salvation, his or her soul, then you're condemned now, because the Bible says in John 3:18, you're condemned already because you believe not. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, here is my word, and believe it on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. The condemnation is lifted. It's gone and gone forever. And for the believer who is in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. The next verse says, who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, 17, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or niggers, or peril, or sword? All these externals, will they separate me? Or is it, there come the sheep for the slaughter, which killed all the law? And verse number 37 says, we are more than conquerors. I miss the very word out. Nay, says Paul, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Beloved, let it thrill your soul. I give you three wonderful all. God, three wonderful all for daily victorious living. What are they? Verse 28, the all of God's planning, all things working together for good. The all of God's provision. And all these things, with Christ given us all things. And now the all of God's power. What does it say? In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in that verse, there's no defeat. There's no defeat. The last two verses of Romans 8, 10 things and all in pair. He's done all of them. What shall we say then to these things? Shall life or death to extreme state? Shall life or death, angels or principalities, superhuman intelligences, things present or things to come, all time which is ours, height or depth, the dimensions of space, power, or any other creature, celestial, terrestrial, or infernal, in heaven, or earth, or in hell, angels, men, or demons, no power that any creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now, hallelujah, there's no separation. We bow before him this morning, we worship. This one who is the omnipresent God, God with us. This one who is the omniscient God, the all-seeing, the all-knowing God. God is for us. But now thank God for the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. He said, God is in us. So the God who is with me, the God who is for me, is now the God who by his Spirit lives in me. He is just love, just in God, and God in him. Here I just touch the other two because I really must first. He's everlasting Father, the Father of all eternity. He is the planner and the upholder of all ages. Then lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. May I pause? He is wonderful in his power. He's a counselor in his precepts. He's a mighty God in His person.
Again, the omnipresent, the omniscient, and the omnipotent God. I am that I am God. Now that is, He is now the everlasting Father in His pity. There's a 4th in His pity. As a father fits his children, so the Lord fits them that fear Him. And lastly, He's the Prince of Peace in His peace. There's a 5th P. The Prince of Peace in His peace. John 14, verse 27. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And my friend, He, the Prince of Peace, will come one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He shall reign. And His kingdom shall stretch from shore to shore. What a moment that's going to be when He comes and whispers peace. Hymn number 515. 515, just 2 verses of this lovely hymn. Tonight we're going to go on with Isaiah 43. That's what I intend to see on this morning. And I felt I must finish these few words in the 6th verse. 515, Master, the tempest is raging. Is there some heart here like that this morning? Your little heart is all torn, tossed, all topsy turvy, tempest raging within. Oh, you can know this inner serenity. You can know this inner peace this morning. But just go sing 2 verses. 515. Rock flame.
Hey, Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is a shadow with blackness. No shadow of help is nigh. Hearest thou not that we carry? Hey, how canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so sadly distressed me, upbraiding the air. No winds and no waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the rock or the salt of sea, or demons or mist, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey.
Now the last verse softly now.
Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Its sun in the coming is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, oh blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the rock or the storms of sea, or demons of mist, or whatever it be, in the water can follow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall quickly obey my will. Peace be still. They all shall quickly obey my will.
To thou God who art peace, we give thee thanks for the privilege of being together. We thank for all who know thee as peace ruling, reigning in our hearts and lives. Should there be one or more here this morning who are still estranged to that peace, may this be the morning of their decision on the side of Jesus Christ, and we give thee all the glory in His peerless name. Amen. There's no button holding or in due pressing, but if I say something you're not very clear about, don't be afraid to make it known. I talk rather fast. If you didn't quite get it, then don't be afraid to make it known. Remember, you're the best thing to advertisement. You're being blessed by the ministry. You tell others about it in the neighborhood and get them to come along with you. We thank God for the fine crowd here this morning. Those will be present last night. Let us be much in prayer, and the power of God may be made manifest.